Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. Well, good morning. I'm looking around. Does everybody have a seat? We good? All right. Well, if you're a guest today, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here, and we are honored that you are with us. Thank you. Well, hoot this morning at 9:30. Hey, honored that you're here, kicking off a brand new series today called Simple as That, and I want to open with a question, silly question, get you thinking a little bit this morning. Curious, how many of you have ever donated to a gym? Anybody? So when I was in college, me and a buddy of mine decided we were going to get jacked. And so we went down and we joined a gym and we went for about a week, maybe 10 days. And then we stopped. And a couple weeks later, he went back to cancel because we wanted to quit the gym because we weren't going to go anymore. Because it turns out when you lift weights, it hurts. And we weren't up for that. And so goes down to cancel. Guess what? We had signed up for a whole year. Didn't realize it. So we donated for a year and then canceled. You would have thought that I would have gone at some point, but I didn't. But I say that to say, during that year that I had complete access to the gym, during that year I had full privileges of a gym member. During that year I drove by said gym no less than 200 times. In the 365 days, I experienced absolutely zero benefit from that gym. I did not get in better shape. I did not lose any weight. In fact, in that year, I probably gained some weight. Now, look, I know that's not shocking. We all understand this, right? We all understand that the value of a gym is what you put into it. You can have all the equipment. You can have everything there, full access. But if we don't go, and if we don't use it, and we don't make the most of it, nothing's going to happen in our hearts. Nothing's going to happen in our lives. We understand this very simply when it comes to the gym. I think we miss it when it comes to the reason we're gathered here today. Because the God of the universe, as we're going to see today, works exactly the same way. Everything he offers is fully and freely available to anyone and everyone who wants to use it. But the effectiveness, the blessing, the abundance of what he offers is completely up to us. I say that because we're beginning a brand new series today called Simple as That. And the series, we're going to spend a few weeks looking at the teachings of Jesus, but specifically the parables of Jesus. This guy named Mark, who wrote one of the four biographies of Jesus' life, tells us that every time Jesus taught, he used a parable. He used a story. And it's because we are wired for story. Stories make sense to us. And so he used these very simple stories to teach life-changing truth, to teach principles that we can build our life on, to give encouragement and a hope when people are struggling. So for the next few weeks, we are going to just simply spend each week looking at a parable, one of Jesus's teachings, so that we can understand what he is saying and how we can apply it in our life. If you call Wellspring home, you know we just finished a series about how God speaks to us. And so we thought it would be really great for the next few weeks just to take very simple teachings from Jesus and help us all understand how to apply it in our life. All right, so that brings me back to the gym. And that brings me back to Jesus, because the story Jesus is going to teach today and is going to share with us today illustrates the point I opened with. That everything he has and everything he offers is fully and freely available. And we control our availability. We control the access we give him. And the more access we give him, the more he's able to do. Now, With that in mind, I want to turn to the story. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Matthew chapter 13. If not, don't worry, it's going to be up here on the screen. But Jesus begins the story this way. He says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. Now, that doesn't mean a ton to us in 2025 Horry County. All right, some of you may be farmers, a few, but for the vast majority of us, we do other things to make a living. But 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was teaching this, when he said a farmer went out to plant some seeds, every person listening either was a farmer or they had a family member who was a farmer or they grew up on a farm. And so everything that goes into farming would have been intrinsically understood at the beginning. A good example for us today would be if I told you a family decided to spend a day at the beach. Okay, if I were to tell you that now, I don't have to give you all the details because you can fill it in. You're like, well, they had to figure out where they were going to park and they probably had to pack some lunches. And if they were taking kids, they had to take sunscreen. They probably had to take an umbrella and they had to have towels. And so all that knowledge you just can put on top of. Well, that's what's happening when Jesus is teaching this. Everybody understands what it means to be a farmer and a farmer going out to plant some seeds in planting season. So that kind of sets the stage. And then here's the story. This is the farmer. He says, as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them. All right. He says, other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. He keeps going. He says, other seeds, well, they fell among thorns, and those thorns grew up, and they choked out the tender plants. Then he says, still other seeds, well, they fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he ends it this way. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. I take it you don't understand. It's okay. It's okay. To make you feel good, Jesus' disciples did not understand either. And so Jesus tells a story, and a couple of verses later, he takes the disciples aside. And he basically is like, do you want to understand what that story meant? And they're like, oh, yes, please, because we don't understand the farming. I mean, you know, most of them were fishermen. So they're like, what are we doing here? And so Jesus explains. He says, okay, it's simple. He says, it's a metaphor. It's a picture. He says, the seed that fell on the footpath, well, see, that represents people. And it's the people who hear the message about the kingdom, and they don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. So see, what Jesus was doing here was he was painting a picture of people. And he was painting a picture of people's receptiveness to everything that he's doing and his disciples were doing. And he's using planting as an image. And so he says, you know, the seed that fell on the footpath, it had no chance. And so what we're going to call it today is we're going to call that the couldn't care less soil. Right? Couldn't care less is how I felt for the 11 months I donated to the gym in college. I couldn't care less. I drove past it. I didn't even wonder what was going on inside. You know, I was just like, and what he's telling us, and you probably have people like this in your life, is that there are just gonna be people who from time to time couldn't care less about the things of God. Perhaps you at some point couldn't care less. Perhaps you're here today because someone made you come. Maybe you knew someone getting baptized and the deal was if you want to go to lunch afterwards, you got to come to church. And so if you would boldly consider yourself a couldn't care less person, can I just sincerely thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here and for even somewhat listening to what we're talking about right now. I really do appreciate it. Because many people at some point found themselves in the couldn't care less point. So Jesus keeps going. Then he says, so the seed on the rocky soil, well, that represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. So what we could call this group of people in this soil, we could call this the convenient soil, right? Convenient soil. These are the people that you may go to the gym. Well, they're me again. You went to the gym for like a week, maybe a month, and then, man, getting up early is hard. Man, I am sore. That's no fun. And so I bailed. And the same thing can happen to people who are exploring faith. You can come in like a firecracker, man, and everything's great, but then something can happen. Maybe you get asked to try a thing. Maybe there's a truth presented you don't like. Maybe someone sits in your seat on Sunday. And it stops being convenient. That's just a reality. And so we miss out on what God wants to do because the seed is spreading, it's not going to build deep roots. He keeps going. He says, the seed that fell among the thorns, well, that represents those who hear God's message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. So we're going to call this one, this is crowded soil, right? There's thorns, there's too much in there. This is the person who goes to the gym, they're all decked out, but they talk the whole time. They're just talking to people and happy, and man, it's good to see you. And then they're like, oh, time to go. Woo, that's a good workout. Like, bro, the only thing you worked out were your jaw muscles. But it's another reality. In fact, we did an entire series about this a couple months ago. There's plenty of people who get excited about the things of God and who want to lean into the things of God, but then we get too busy. There's too much going on in our life, and so it crowds out the things of God. There's another thing that can crowd out what God wants to do in our life, and unfortunately, it has nothing to do with us. Sometimes it's pain. Sometimes our lives are so crowded with unhealed pain of the things we've been through. In fact, let me make it a little clearer. The things that were done to you. Sometimes there's just pain in there. And that pain can be suffocating. That pain can be overwhelming. And what Jesus is saying is, yes, sometimes that pain can crowd out what God wants to do. Last one. The seed that fell on good soil, well, that represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as has been planted. So we're going to call this the committed soil. These are people who simply join the gym and go. They go, they use the weights when they feel like it, they use the weights when they don't feel like it, and over time, their body begins to change because they're making the most of what's been put in front of them. And what Jesus is saying is the same thing is true for us. All I ask, Jesus would say, is that you be committed. Just trust me. Just follow me. Because if you are willing, if you are committed, if you say yes, then I know I can do anything I want in your life. And that's going to be 30, 50, 100 times bigger, better, greater, more abundant than anything you've ever imagined in your entire life. So let's summarize. Here's what Jesus is saying. He described four soil conditions. Couldn't care less. Convenient, crowded, committed. But what I think becomes apparent through the story is obviously we're not talking about soil conditions. We're talking about soul conditions. A couldn't care less soul, a convenient soul, a crowded soul, or a committed soul. Now, I want to pause for a minute, because what we do next is critical with this story. Because it would be very easy to believe that Jesus is almost teaching a form of fatalism. That, hey, some people are just born, couldn't care less, and there's nothing we can do. Some people are born convenient, and there's nothing we can do. Some people are born crowded, and there's nothing we can do. So find the committed people. Invest in the committed people. May I impart to you that could not be further from what Jesus is trying to teach. Remember, every person he's talking to understood farming. They understood the intricacies of how to create fertile soil. Oh, and I also skipped a verse. I skipped a verse on purpose because I don't want you to miss this. I want you to see something he says right after he tells the story. He says, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. See, what Jesus is saying is, I'm trying to teach you something. And if you hear me and you do something about it, more abundance will follow. But if I teach you this and you don't do something about it, then you're going to continue to experience the results you're experiencing. Now, if the point of this message was that our souls are out of our control, why on earth would he say, if you understand, keep leaning in? See, that's not what he was teaching. Every single farmer and every person who knew a farmer listening to his teaching knew, put those back up, of these four soil conditions, they knew that any of these four soils could become fertile soils with a little cultivation. The footpath was a place they chose to leave, to walk between the rows where they were planting. But they easily could have spent some time, do a little cultivating, and that footpath would have become fertile soil. It's the same with the shallow soil. They could have spent some time. They could have put the effort. They could have dug down to the bedrock. Then they could have dug the rocks out, removed the rocks, and then that soil would have become fertile soil. Same with the thorns. They could have got in there and done some work, and they could have gotten rid of the thorns and just simply done some pruning, and that could have become fertile soil as well. And so what I believe Jesus is teaching us is not that this fatalistic is just how we were born. I believe what he's teaching us is, if you aren't satisfied with my results in your life, you might have a soil problem. You might have a soul problem. Because think about it. As I said a minute ago, at some point we all were the couldn't care less soil. We weren't interested in the things of God. But then something changed. You met someone, you had a life experience, someone invited you to a new church, you joined a Bible study, your roommate began talking to you about the things of God. I don't know, but something happened and you changed your mind. You said, you know what, I do care. And now today, if you consider yourself a Christ follower, you may wonder, well, the couldn't care less doesn't matter to me. And I hope that's true. But the way we can use this today is, if there's an area in your life, maybe it's work, maybe it's parenting, maybe it's a relationship. If there's an area in your life where you are continually frustrated and you continually wonder, why isn't God moving? Why aren't things progressing? Why isn't anything happening? I humbly submit for your contemplation, is it possible that you have sectioned off that part of yourself and told God you're not interested in what he has to say? God, I couldn't care less what you say about this. Now look, that is not meant to condemn. That is not meant to judge. It is simply meant to explain. Because what he is saying is, I am spreading my love and my teaching everywhere. That's why he talks about spreading the seed. He indiscriminately casts out his love and his mercy and his grace and his wisdom and his guidance and his provision. But if we have areas in our life where we said we are not interested in what you have to say, we cannot be confused when we do not produce a harvest of blessing, when we do not produce a harvest of what he wants for us. Same goes for convenient. Are there areas in your life where you know what God wants you to do, you have heard, but it's hard? It's not convenient. It might require me to step out of my comfort zone. It might require me to do some things I'm uncomfortable with. Again, this is not a condemnation. This is clarity. If your soul has a convenient soil, if you haven't taken steps to cultivate it, to get rid of some of those rocks, maybe rocks are addictions, just bad habits, just patterns of sin that for whatever reason we just tell God we're not interested, we're not listening here, we're not doing that, that might be why you're not experiencing the blessing that God wants for your life. That might be why you're living so anxious and why you're living so confused. It's because he hasn't changed. But our souls, we have a convenient approach. Same with crowded. Many of us have a crowded soul. Again, that's why we did the whole series on busyness. But as I said earlier, for many of us, we are crowded by things we didn't cause. We're crowded by hurt and pain from our past. Things that were done to us, things we did that we still carry massive amounts of guilt and shame. That will crowd out anything that God wants to do. But there's hope today for you here. Because God can and will heal that hurt. He will heal that pain. We have a world-class counseling ministry, and I hear stories over and over and over of people finding freedom through allowing God to heal them. And when they get healed, they find it so much easier to obey. And it had nothing to do with willpower. It had nothing to do with self-control. It had nothing to do with desire. It was that there was massive pain in them that was crowding out everything else that was going on. But God and his Holy Spirit can and will heal. Not help. Heal that pain. So that you, me, all of us can walk as committed. And committed simply means I say yes before you ask. That's it. It doesn't mean you have to perform a certain way. There's not a, you know, you got to lead 10 people to Jesus a month or whatever, or read your Bible 5 times a week, or all the performative things that we tell ourselves make us good. No, 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 no. Committed soul just means, Jesus, you are my king. You are my good shepherd. You've never let me down. You've never hurt me. You've never led me astray. So the answer, my king, is yes. So the question for us to wrestle with today is, where are you? Where's your soul? Couldn't care less? Convenient? Crowded? Or committed? It's not for me to answer. It's for you to answer. And the way we're going to talk about it for the rest of our time is just a simple way of thinking. All right, here's the question I want you to wrestle with this week, that I'm going to wrestle with this week, that I want all of us to wrestle with this week when it comes to our relationship with God, or if you're new to faith, or if you're checking out faith, whether you even want to invest in the things of God, whether you want to put your faith in Jesus or not. These are things to wrestle with. Because what Jesus is saying is, on my side of the fence, it never changes. On my side of the fence, I am pouring out my love and mercy, and you never go further away. You're never closer. I love you, and I want to change your life. My ability to move in your life is entirely up to you. How fertile is the soil of your soul? So here's a question I want you to ask. How am I cultivating the soil of my soul? Am I taking steps personally to cultivate? Am I taking steps personally to make sure there's no areas of my life that I've just completely blocked him out? Am I taking steps personally to make sure if there are any big rocks holding me back and stopping me from being able to build the deep roots of faith, I'm going to take a step with that. To ask, hey, are there things that are crowding out my ability to respond to Jesus? These are questions we should wrestle with. And so here's how we're going to ask it. How do we cultivate a healthy soul? How do we do that? And good news, you're already doing it. But we make it too complicated because the first thing, if we want to actually create cultivate a healthy soul, is we need to get to know Jesus. And I mean that. We need to get to know him personally. And that's true if you're new to faith. That's true if you've been a Christ follower for 50 years. The last line of the fourth gospel, the gospel of John, Jesus' best friend on earth, the last biography written on Jesus that we put into our New Testament ends with these words. These are just some of the stories about Jesus. John says, I suppose if I tried to write down everything Jesus ever said and did, that all the books in all the world could not contain the details. Here's what I mean. There will never be a day where you can't get to know Jesus better than you started it. Because he is the infinite God of the universe. And so the first thing we do if we want to cultivate a healthy soil is we take steps in our life to get to know Jesus. That is through reading his word. That is through spending time in prayer with him, singing praises to him. We get to know him. We ask him questions. We let the Holy Spirit answer us. There is no better way to cultivate your soul than to get to know Jesus, because I am 100% convinced that there's not a person alive that if they actually were able to see a clear picture of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, that their immediate response would be to fall on their knees and say, Jesus, you are my Lord. Because he is perfect. There's nothing about Jesus that is unattractive. There's nothing about Jesus that is unwelcoming. There's nothing about Jesus. Now, a lot of people say a lot of things about Jesus that aren't true. So that's why you didn't hear me say, get to know what I think about Jesus. I didn't tell you, get to know what your favorite podcaster says about Jesus. I didn't say, get to know what they are. I said, you get to know Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Ask him to reveal himself to you. I'm not sure there's a more powerful step to cultivating a healthy soul than to do all we can to discover and relate and have an intimate relationship with the real Jesus. As your church, that's why we exist. And we want to help you do that. But that's not all. A lot of people know Jesus. Once we get to know Jesus, we have to make a choice. We decide to follow Jesus. And I don't mean an emotional thing. I don't mean getting caught up in a moment. I mean a clear-eyed, reasonable, rational decision to follow Jesus. And I know some of you want to say, oh, I did that when I was in middle school. I did that when I was 10 years old. And I walked down the aisle and I shook hands with the pastor. And you did. You did that one time. If we want to cultivate a healthy soul, this isn't a one-time decision. This is a daily decision. It's an hourly decision. It's a moment-by-moment decision. It is deciding, no matter what comes, no matter the circumstance, no matter the season, no matter the struggle, no matter the hardship, no matter what, Jesus, I follow you. You want to cultivate a fertile soil? Decide to live with an obedient spirit. Just obey. But I don't understand. Obey anyway. But I really don't like it. Then definitely obey. The more you don't want to obey, the more you need to obey. Because that means there's something on this side pulling you as hard as it can. And you're like, I just want to go. You know, it's like, man, just, Just run. And here's what I will tell you. The more you do this, the more you follow, and the more you begin to experience the benefits of God moving in your life, that abundance, that 30, 50, 100 time response, it creates this cycle of gratitude and this cycle of understanding. And the more you obey, the easier it becomes to obey. But I'll tell you right now, with love, you will not experience the benefit and the blessings of Jesus if you refuse to obey Jesus. It's just fact. But if you do, if you surrender, that is when he is able to do infinitely more than any of us could ask or imagine. So how do we cultivate a healthy soul? We get to know Jesus. How do we cultivate a healthy soul? We decide intellectually, reasonably, rationally, I will follow my King. I will follow my good shepherd. I will trust him. I will obey him. And some of you are saying, I don't know exactly how to do that. There's certain areas of my life where I struggle or I kind of need some help. And I'm glad you said that because Jesus thought that too. Because after we get to know Jesus, and as we're, well, not after, we're always getting to know Jesus better. We're deciding to follow him more. But that's not all. One of the keys to cultivating a healthy soul is to walk with other followers of Jesus. We were not created to do this alone, period. It's why Jesus created his church, a place for his followers to gather together, to lift each other up, to pray for each other, to encourage each other. And if you want to cultivate a healthy soul, then I encourage you to plant yourself in a healthy church. If you call Wellspring home, it's here. If you're a guest today, we would love for you to plant here. But I'm not going to tell you we're the only healthy church in town. That's ridiculous. But if your heart feels drawn to us, man, please plant here. Because it's in a church where you get to know people and where we have these things called community groups, and one of our core values is that we believe circles are better than rows. You're in rows right now, and we love rows, but not much can happen in rows. In circles is where we're able to talk about the struggles in our life. We're able to talk about the thorns. We're able to talk about the big rocks. And the cool thing about circles is somebody in that circle has already removed that thorn from their field. And they're able to say, oh man, I used to struggle with that. Let me help you. Let me pray for you. Let me walk with you as you do this. Because the benefit on the other side, that fertile soil, is unbelievable because God can do more than we could ask or imagine. But we have to walk with other followers of Jesus. It's a requirement. If we want that fertile soil, if we want to experience all the benefits of what God offers. There's another. We play our role for Jesus. We're actually going to do a series about this next. When we're done with Simple as That, we're starting a new series all about the fact that God created each and every one of us on purpose and with purpose. He gave you different strengths, gifts, talents, and abilities. He gave no one else. And he gave you those for his good pleasure. He gave you those so that you could play a role in his story of rescuing humanity. That could be in the life of your spouse. It could be in the life of your children or your parents. It could be at work. I don't know where it is, but he does. And when we understand our gifts and strengths and talents and abilities, they aren't ours. We didn't somehow grow them. They were given to us for a purpose. And we open our hands and say, all right, Jesus, use me how you want. He's able to do more, and our soul opens up even more, and he can move, and he can change, and he can do whatever he wants because we are committed to him. Last thing, we want to invest in people that need Jesus. That's the cycle. We let him change us. We let him make us the men and women he created us to be because he wants to use us, because each one of us have friends and family and neighbors and coworkers that desperately need what we've experienced. and a true fertile soil, a true committed, Father, I'm with you, looks for opportunities to invite and to invest in people that don't need Jesus, I mean, that don't know Jesus, because they desperately, desperately need him. And again, as your church, we want to help. So I want to wrap up this way, because we've covered a ton. I know we've covered a ton. But I want to end it with just a simple question. And it's for you to wrestle with as we enter our time of response. How am I cultivating the soil of my soul? Are there areas in your life where you would admit, yeah, I couldn't care less what he says about that? Are there areas of your life where you're like, oh, it's not convenient, so I haven't done it yet? Are there areas of your life where it's too crowded, it's too busy? I get it. Jesus got it. And he's not even mad at you. He's not judging. He's just painting a picture of you are not experiencing the greatest benefit you can. We have a saying here at our church, don't ever settle for anything less than God's absolute best for your life. Don't settle. When we choose not to cultivate the soil of our soul, we're settling for less than God's best. So as we come to our time of response, our prayer team's going to be down front, but if you just want to come and pray, we've got communion in the vestibules. You respond how you see fit. You respond in the way you believe is going to best cultivate the soil of your soul, to remove the thorns, to remove the rocks, and to say, Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, you're my king. Jesus, I say yes before you ask the question. Because when we do that, he's already promised 30, 50, 100 times more than we've expected. Because that's who he is. And he's not looking for our performance. He's not looking for perfection. He's just looking for permission. Give him permission today to be the king of your life. Give him permission today to do what he wants and say yes in advance. And then watch as he does infinitely more than any of us could ask or imagine. Let me pray. Father, we love you. God, we're just so grateful for your son and for his teachings. Jesus, I thank you that you give us this template, this check in us when we're struggling, when we're not experiencing the results you want, when we're not understanding what's going on, that we can look inside and say, hey, am I cultivating the soil of my soul? Do I have an obedient spirit? Have I given you permission to move? So, Father, I pray now, develop that in all of us. Show us what we need to remove. Show us where we need to step so that our hearts, our souls, become that committed, fertile soil, so that you can accomplish in us everything you want. As we respond, please speak. We love you. We thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's respond.